take that smile that there's not one. Well, I want to thank the Lord for talking to me and speaking to me and challenging me. And I'd like to share a scripture in John, the 15th chapter. Gospel of John 15, and the first verse, he said, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. I want to... I'd like to look at this illustration just a little bit this morning. I've got some grapevines in my yard. And it's very, very difficult to see the branches before spring hits. It's very difficult to see the ones that are alive and the ones that are not. You can't hardly tell. They look so similar, but after a while, when the leaves start coming on, you realize that, uh-oh, there's no leaves. And some of the vines are late bloomers. Some of them are early bloomers. Some of them bush out and bloom, got leaves, and others, it just seem like they're a little bit slower, but they can still bloom. But I've got branches on there that I haven't pruned off that are... But I want to think about this just a moment. The branches are attached to the vine in a physical sense. They've got bark. They've got the woody part, the inner part that's attached. But there's something missing on some of them that are not leafed out and that are not bearing fruit. And I believe that's what the Lord is trying to give us an illustration about abiding in Him and He in us. He's talking about our connection to Him, being connected into Him. And on my grapevines, it's, you know, the physical connection is, you know, the bark and the inner wood. That's necessary. That's a necessary part. But that's not what gives the life. Now on trees, there's a layer. It's called the cambium layer. And it's just under the bark. But that's where the life flow of the tree is. It's just right under the bark. It's not way deep in the tree. It's just right along the outer edge. That's how it grows every year. It's through that cambium layer. It sends roots up. Roots send nutrients up to the leaves. And there's a back and forth between the roots and the leaves through that cambium layer. I think about our connection to Christ. There's a physical part of our living for God. There's things that we do. There's habits that we have that are all good, that are have their place. But there's a spiritual connection this morning that's part of that cambium layer that we have to have to bring forth fruit and to be what God is calling us to be in our lives, for us to grow spiritually and for us to be really connected into Christ, we have to have that spiritual connection. Not just the, and we could put a lot of things down for that bark and the woody part of that. We could put going to services. We could put preaching the gospel. We could put giving of our means. We could put so many things in that woody part that are good, that are right. But we want to be concerned about our spiritual connection with Christ. Am I connected to Christ through the Spirit? Not just in my habits and my routines of my day, but am I connected in my thought, in my very spirit of my life? That is where growth. That's where the Lord can send His nutrients and help to us. It's through that. I want to get a verse in the book of Revelations. Kind of a familiar scripture. Revelations, the second chapter. Revelations, the second chapter and the first verse. He said unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write... These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. I was thinking about this Ephesus congregation, how they were doing so many things right. And they had had God's blessing and God's favor. They had knowledge. They had understanding. But yet, when the Lord looked down into their hearts, it wasn't right. They were going through the motions. They were going through the routines. They were depending upon the knowledge that they had. You know, knowledge is a good thing. The Lord gives knowledge. It's a good thing. But you know, if we just are depending upon the past knowledge and we're not looking into previous experience, then we can fail to have what God wants us to have. It's like their heart. He said, you've lost your first love. Their heart, their affections wasn't really in what they were doing. And I feel challenged that way, because I know the scripture is a verse that talks about all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. You know, there's just a tendency in life to get preoccupied, to get busy, to do our own things and have our own agendas, you might say, and we failed to really put God first, and we failed to really seek Him first in our lives. We can tend astray from connection with Christ. And the Lord wants us to be concerned, and He wants us to be focused on connection to Christ, on being connected into Him and receiving what He has for us. There's a song I've been thinking about. It's called Turn Your Heart Towards Home. And it talks about sometimes how young men, they grow up and they leave home and, you know, they just go out and do their own thing and disregard, you know, like the prodigal son, disregard what they had at home, you might say, and they go out on their own. The song is talking about wayward sons. The song goes on and talks about wayward fathers and mothers who have said their goodbyes, that parents that have left and went out and done their own thing. But there's another verse, and it talks about the mothers and fathers that they didn't leave home, they didn't leave, but yet it says in their hearts, they're so many miles away. In their hearts, they're there, but they're not there. They're there in a physical sense, but they're not there in another sense. And I just felt really challenged, Lord, help me to desire that spiritual connection with You, that communion, that fellowship, that closeness with You, and not to trust and rely on my works, what I've done, my knowledge, my understanding. But help me, Lord, to be in love with You. Help me that my heart would be in what I'm doing, not just because of duty, just because of responsibility, but Lord, help my heart to be in serving You and the things that we do in the name of the Lord. And I believe that's what these people were missing. He acknowledged all the good things that, sure, you've done, you forbeared, you've had patience, you've done a lot, you had knowledge, understanding, but said, you have lost your first love. They were relying on that physical sense of their connection. And Lord, help us today to recognize there has to be that spiritual connection in us to Christ for us to have the fruit that God wants us to have in our hearts, in our lives. I wanted to read, there's a little, I wanted to read Hannah Smith's, if you don't have, most of us might have it, Christian Secret of a Happy Life. I recommend it highly. But I want to read, bear with me, don't tune me out, and don't lose me on this. This is so good, it was so rich to my heart. It says it as if a woman had been a servant in a house, paid for her work in weekly wages, and under the law of her master, whom she had tried to please, but towards whom her service had been one of duty only. Finally, however, the master offers her his love and lifts her up from the place of a servant to be his bride and to share in his fortunes. At once the whole spirit of her service is changed. She may perhaps continue to do the same things that she did before, but she does them now, excuse me, altogether from a different motive. The old sense of duty is lost in the new sense of love. The cold word master is transformed into the loving word husband. But imagine this bride beginning after a while to look back upon her low estate and to be so overwhelmed by her retrospects as to feel unworthy of union with her husband and to lose consequently the inward sense of this union. Who can doubt that very soon the old sense of working for wages would drive out the new sense of working for love? And in spirit, the old name of my master would again take the place of the new name of my husband. We exclaim at the folly of such a course, but is not this just what happens to many Christians now? The servitude of duty takes the place of the service of love, and God is looked upon as the stern taskmaster who demands our obedience instead of the loving Father who wins it. We all know that nothing so destroys the sweetness of any relationship as the creeping in of this legal spirit. The moment a husband and wife cease to perform their services to each other out of a heart of love and union and begin to perform them from a sense of duty alone, that moment the sweetness of the union is lost and the marriage tie becomes a bondage, and things that were a joy before are turned into crosses. This lies at the bottom, I think, of the current idea of taking up the cross in the Christian church. We think it means to do something we ought to do but dislike to do, and such service is thought to be very meritorious toward God. Although we all know very well that we would not endure it a moment as toward ourselves. What wife could endure if her husband should use toward her the language that Christians are continually using towards the Lord? If he should say, for instance, every morning as he went out to business, "I'm going to work for you today, but I wish you to know that it is a very great cross." Well, that wouldn't be too good, would it? Oh, what husband would like such language from his wife. No wonder Paul was alarmed when he found there was danger of legal spirit creeping into the church of Christ. Legal Christians do not deny Christ. They only seek to add something to Christ. Their idea is Christ and something besides. Perhaps it is Christ and good works, or Christ and earnest feelings, or Christ and clear doctrines, or Christ and certain religious performances. All of these are good in themselves and good as the results of fruits of salvation, but to add anything to Christ, no matter how good it may be, as the procuring cause of salvation, is to deny His completeness and to exalt self. This really stood out to me. Men will undergo many painful self-sacrifices rather than take the place of utter helplessness and worthlessness. And a religion of bondage always exalts self. It is what I do, my efforts, my wrestlings, my faithfulness. But a religion of liberty leaves self nothing to glory in. It is all Christ and what He does and what He is and how wonderfully He saves. The child does not boast of itself, but of its father and mother. And our souls can make their boast in the Lord when this life of liberty we have learned to know that He and He alone is a sufficient supply for our every need. I wanted to read just a little bit more. It says, "We are the children of God and therefore, of course, His heirs. And our possessions come to us not by working for them, but by inheritance from our Father. Dear friends, how little some of us act like the heirs of God. How poverty-stricken we are and how hard we work for the little we do possess. You may perhaps point to the results of your legal working or your asceticism, which, it is true, do seem to have a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body as being a proof of the rightness of your course. But I am convinced that whatever really good results there are have come in spite of and not because of your legal working. I had a friend once whose Christian life was a life of bondage. She worked for her salvation harder than any slave ever worked to purchase his freedom. Among other things, she never felt as if the day could go right for herself or any of her family unless she started it with a long season of wrestling and agonizing and conflict. I don't know if you all can relate to this or not. But I think we all can to some degree. I called it the winding up of her machine. One day we were talking about it together and she was telling me of the hardness and bondage of her Christian life and was wondering what the Bible could mean when it said Christ's yoke was easy and his burden was light. I told her that I thought she must have got things wrong somehow. That the Bible always expressed the truth of our relationship with God by using figures that did not admit of any such wrestlings and agonizings as she described. What would you think, I asked, of children that had to wrestle and agonize with their parents every morning for their necessary food and clothing? Or of sheep that had to wrestle with their shepherd before they could secure the necessary care? Of course, I see that would be all wrong, she said, but then why do I have such good times after I've gone such through these conflicts? This puzzled me for a moment, but then I asked, what brings about those good times finally? Why, finally, she replied, I come to the point of trusting the Lord. Suppose you should come to that point to begin with, I ask. Oh, she replied with a sudden illumination. I never until this moment thought that I might. You know, the devil wants to try to bring bondage into our life. He wants just to serve just because of duty. But we've got to, Lord, help us to recognize that our spiritual connection with Christ is everything to us. And I believe that involves our heart. There are different things in our lives that can hinder our connection, and the scriptures talk about that. It talks about unforgiveness. It talks about different things, restitutions, and it talks about things that will hinder our connection to Christ, and we've got to make sure those places are clear. But when it boils down to it, we've got to be, I believe the bottom line is trusting God, being willing and obedient. There's a temptation to serve God on our terms. In our way, in our terms. And we can resist the Holy Spirit when He calls us into that place of helplessness. When He calls us to that place of defenselessness that we can't do it within ourselves, and we pull back and we stand behind. I believe our connection has to be a yielding of ourselves. There has to be a, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to believe that You're going to help me in this. I'm going to follow You regardless of what it takes, regardless of the embarrassment, or regardless of where it might lead. I'm going to follow You with all of my heart. I believe that's where the sap of Christ flows into our hearts and our lives. Our stubbornness, our self-will, our setting our own parameters of what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. You know, I read the other day about Philip. It said the Spirit of the Lord spoke to Philip, go join yourself He told him to go down to the desert. He didn't know what for. That's what the Spirit of God told him. Just go down to the desert. That's all he knew. He gets down there to the desert, and then the Spirit says, join to that chariot that's going by there. You know, the tendency for us is we like to have everything all mapped out. I don't know if you do. I'm that way. I like to have a plan. I'm not saying plans are always wrong, but we can detail the Holy Spirit out of it. You know, some of the best services we've had among us have been what we've called out-of-order services. Isn't that true? And it's because somebody was yielding to the Holy Spirit of God in their hearts and their lives. And it looked like it may have been out of order, but they weren't. The Lord had a different order. But we can just get so used to a routine and used to things. Lord, help us today to be open and receptive to whatever God wants us to do, to whatever He says. You know, I think about sometimes marriages, sometimes, you know, you married 25, 30 years. That's quite Sister Nina made it one way past that. What was you, 50 years? That's a lot of years. 53, that's almost as long as I'm just 57. 56, 57, somewhere in there. She's married almost long. It would be easy to fall into a routine. It would be easy to give way to just the form and lose the heart of the marriage. It takes effort. It takes giving our heart, putting something, investing into it. And I believe it takes that in our spiritual lives too. God wants us to invest in Him. Invest in His kingdom. Invest in what He wants to work in our hearts and our lives. To give ourselves to Him. If we don't, you know, we just become like that branch. And, you know, these trees here have so many... Lord willing, they're going to get pruned before too long. I'm not going to say when, but they're going to get, Lord willing, they're going to get pruned. But every time a wind comes through, you can go through here and there's 40, 50 branches all over the ground. And it's because they're connected in a physical way. They're part of the tree until the wind comes. But there's no flexibility. There's no life there. I know a green branch with green leaves can get blown off at times. I realize that. But most of the time, it's going to be a branch that doesn't have leaves. I mean, that's what I find in the yard all the time. I don't find a bunch of branches with leaves on them. I find a bunch of branches where there's no leaves. They were just connected. They were just part of the tree. And Lord, help us today that when the storms come, when difficulties come, that there's a connection to Christ, a spiritual connection that gives me grace and gives me strength to be able to not only go through the storm, but to be able to receive the good that the storm has to offer me. To learn from the storm the lessons that God has for us. So I just want to encourage us and challenge us to seek that spiritual connection. I know sometimes when I, you know, even our prayer life, we can say the same words over and over and over. You know, you can even pray with your words. You can be saying words to the Lord in prayer and your mind be somewhere else. You ever talk to someone that way? I know you have. You're talking to them and you're looking in their eyes and you can see that there's no connection. So what do? You just kind of, you just gently move on. Their interest is somewhere else. Sometimes you can tell that when you're preaching too. Lord, help us today to seek and strive for that connection with Jesus Christ. It's everything to us. It's our all in all this morning. And the Lord can show us and He can help us so many ways if we're willing to humble ourselves before Him. He can reveal things and He can help us. But if we get stubborn, if we get self-willed, resisting what the Holy Spirit is calling for, you know, we're gonna lose. I may be connected. I may, and I did that one time years ago. I did that in my spiritual life. I knew the Lord was calling me. And I began to withdraw from that. I began to resist that. I remember that. And it was like the sap just quit flowing until I humbled myself before God. And I said, okay, I want to follow you regardless of wherever you lead. I'm going to follow you. And I believe the Lord wants that connection with us today. Let's not depend on our knowledge. Let's not lean upon our knowledge, upon our form, upon the good things that we do. Let's seek to know Christ in a greater way. You know, Paul, one place he said, I suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung, that I might win Christ. You know what that was to me? That was himself. That was what he wanted. That was his ideas, his agenda, his ways. I suffered the loss of those things, of taking my own way and my own route, that I might know Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but having the righteousness which is of God by faith. You know, I feel like this thing about the law and a legal thing, to me, the stark contrast difference that I believe is one has the heart and the other doesn't. Faith that works by love, serving Christ out of love, has the heart. But just going through the routine, you don't have to have the heart to do that. I feel like that's what the real difference is. So Lord, help us to put our heart and to have that connection with Christ and seek that connection with Him. Appreciate your attention. Pray for me.